From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 29th day of September 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes at Total Farm Marketing. She's in Hollister, Missouri. Gary Schnittke, agricultural economist with Illinois Extension, will join us to discuss his latest article from the Farm Doc Daily website, Trends in Land Leasing. He'll talk about land leases in the state of Illinois, how they compare to the other parts of the Midwest, and how they vary across the state geographically. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast, too. That with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December futures in the corn pit for the day, up 6.5 at $5.39. The March at 5.47, 6.5 higher. November beans, 12.83 3/4, up 6 3/4. And the January at $12.93 1/2, 6.5 cents higher. Bean meal futures at 3.38.10, up 80 cents on the day. The bean oil, a penny higher at 57.78. Soft red winter wheat, 3 3/4 higher at $7.10 1/4 a bushel. And the hard red at 7.11 3/4, up 6 3/4 of a cent. Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri, now joins us to discuss the marketplace. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, hi there, Todd. Sorry I sound like a truck driver.
That's all right. Tell me a little bit about the support and resistance levels.
Well, really very, very few changes. Now, these are monthly, of course, and so December has support at 486, resistance at 543. I would say on a daily chart, major resistance is in that 504, 497 range. March, 509. 574, May 536, and 592. On November, 1258, 1462 per resistance. January, 1258 and 1458. And March, 1229 and 1420. We actually saw a little bit of movement in December gold this week compared to what we've been seeing. And now we have a lower resistance level at 1663 with that's support, resistance at 1762. Dow Jones, still in that range of 31,661 to 35,091. U.S. dollar, unfortunately, has climbed out of its recent range-bound area and gone higher, 94.07 for a support level, 95.60 for a resistance level. On October, Bitcoin, 41,247 support, 44,414 resistance.
Any news on the managed money front?
Few changes going on. We see managed money long, 10,000 soft red wheat compared to 8,000 last week. 239,000 on corn compared to 216. 50 compared to 60 on beans. Actually short 21,000 compared to long 3,000 on soy meal. And long 44,000 compared to long 61,000 on soy oil. So you can see that they're shifting. And they're shifting more back to the corn side of things from where they had been.
How are exports hanging in?
Well, you know, Ida really messed us up, but wheat exports are running about 14% behind a year ago, same as last week. Need about 15.1 million bushels a week to be able to hit the USDA numbers. Corn 51% behind compared to 84% last week. We need 47.6 million bushels to hit the number, and beans are 81% behind a year ago, which was 94% last week. We need to average 40.5 per week in order to hit their numbers. So if you look at what Ida did really, Todd, you know, we did get some, you know, some exports out prior to her hitting us, but we now need to push out about 12 months of corn exports in 11 months. And same thing with beans. And it can be done. We know that, but it's certainly not easy.
What do you see for the grain stocks report tomorrow?
Well, there too is a big question. That name Ida keeps coming up. You know, she hit on the 29th of August. So the expectation is that she's not going to have a lot of impact on this particular report. We think that most things were out before that. Expectations are interesting. Last year we had 1.9 billion bushels of corn. This year the expectation is at 1.16. On beans, we had 525 million last year. 172 is the average guess for this report. And on wheat, 2,158 million last year. They're expecting 1.85 billion this year. So you can see generally, you know, that all the stocks have come down, but I never discount what can happen on a September report. In fact, we talked about this a number of weeks ago, where last year's report came in and we saw, you know, a 205 million bushel cut in corn stocks from the June report, and then we saw a drop down in the soy stocks also. So, you know, this has always been, in my mind, a wild and crazy potential report.
What do you think of the energy issues that China has been having?
Well, you know, Todd, I tell you what, that's something that we've got to really be concerned about. They've actually started rolling blackouts in Beijing and Shanghai. And, you know, that area houses 20 or 48 million people, you know, so this definitely has an impact in terms of a perceived impact in terms of their intake on proteins. You know, the crush plants have been shut down in some areas. What they've done over there is they're saying, you know, they're just really cracking down on the emission targets. And if you as an individual province don't meet your goals, there could be, let's just say there could be some severe problems. And that's a nice way of saying it. And then on top of it, they've got a shortage of coal. So, you know, the energy prices are just killing them. And then on top of it, you know, they just have so many places where people are not able to work. Dozens of factories have been closed down, you know, with these rolling shutdowns. They've ordered some soybean crushing plants to actually close. And most of those actually closed last week, and some more will be closing this week, you know. So it's not a good situation, and it's definitely something that is really riding on the back of the bean market, even though we have really tight supplies.
And then finally, turn your attention to South America. October is just around the corner for Brazil and Argentina, and they'll begin to move in their spring season.
Yep, that's absolutely the truth. And I thought that I would just hit the highlights of what's going on down there in October. In Brazil, wheat harvest is underway in southern Brazil, especially in Paraná. Soybean planting should be in full swing in central Brazil, as well as continuing full season corn and soybean planting in southern Brazil. Rainfall frequency starts to pick up. They're saying rains come in 1 to 2 times a week. Distribution may be very uneven, and temperatures are very hot in central Brazil and can be really hot in southern Brazil as well during the month of October. Right now, they're just 1.3% planted, Todd, and they're still waiting for enough rain. They're saying that they might be able to get it by the end of this week. Now, when we look at the production cycle for Argentina, this is the main, October is the main early season corn planting month, especially in central Argentina. Farmers like to plant corn in two phases. We've talked about this before. You know, the first phase is generally completed by the end of October. Then they skip the month of November, and then they plant again in December. They finish their sunflower planting in northern Argentina and start sunflower planting in central and southern Argentina. And they begin early soybean planting in central Argentina. Wheat's moving from the vegetative development to flowering. Temperatures are warming up to 80s or hotter, and the rainfall down there in October can be very spotty. I think it's hard for most of us to picture the fact that if you look at Buenos Aires and the tip of southern Brazil, it's only about a six-hour boat ride to the South Pole. So it seems pretty strange, doesn't it, that you can have such warm temperatures and not be that far away from something as cold as the South Pole is.
Thank you for all the work. I appreciate it. And we'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vakes is with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Gary Schnitke now joins us to talk about his latest article for the FarmDoc Daily website. This time around, he takes a look at trends in farmland leasing. This is the time of year as producers are running the harvester, the combines, that they really begin to think about the acres they've got for next year, what they're going to be doing with them, and that lease arrangements are coming up as well. What kind of lease arrangements do we use in the state?
Yeah, in Illinois, we primarily use two types of leasing arrangements, cash rent arrangements and share rental arrangements, although there's a growing but small percentage in flexible cash rents. So Over time, we've seen a switch away from share rental arrangements to cash rental arrangements.
Are there any other trends that you've been watching?
Yeah, so one of the things that you'll notice, we switched from share rent to cash rent, is that the cash rents typically lag changes in returns, and so that becomes an issue more as more of our land becomes cash rented. You know, setting that cash rent in a proper fashion matters more, particularly when rents or returns come down, because more of the acres are in cash rent. So that's one of the things, and that's likely giving rise to the more consideration of flexible cash leasing arrangements.
How are these usually configured?
A flexible cash rent typically has a base rent. So for example, in central Illinois, a flexible cash rent would have like a $200 base rent. And then you would have a increase in the rent if crop revenue times a percentage is above that base cash rent. And that percentages are usually around 40% for soybeans and 33% for corn. So that'll give you a feel for what those percentages look like. And those percentages have matched the average cash rent over the past 2000 to 2020 period.
We talked about Illinois. Across the Midwest, do we know from USDA numbers what rental arrangements look like by percentage?
So what we've seen across the Midwest is that 72% are fixed cash rent. 19% are share rent. So 72 and 19 and 8% are flexible cash rent and 1% are free, or something where the terms are not set. Illinois has a higher percentage of its leases in share rent than other parts of the Midwest. We also typically have higher cash rents relative to other parts of the country as well.
What are the reasons why Illinois' cash rents are higher and their share rents make up a greater percentage of the leases?
History, it's hard to explain why we have a higher percentage in share rent, and it probably goes back to historical bases. If you look at northern, central, and southern Illinois, central and southern Illinois roughly have about 50% of their leases as cash rent, and the other 50% are in share rent. Northern Illinois would have close to 70% of their leases in cash rent, just to give you a feel for the differences in Illinois. And northern Illinois is more typical than of the Midwest than is central and southern Illinois.
Do the share rent lease agreements in the state vary much by geography?
Yeah, so if you're looking at northern and central Illinois, it's usually a 50-50 share rental arrangement. 50% of the gross returns go to the farmer and 50% to the landowner, and 50% of the direct costs are shared equally, if you will, equally, then that would be seed, chemicals, drying, and storage. If you go to southern Illinois, there those percentages become more varied. There's some 60-40 and two-thirds, one-thirds. A relatively common arrangement in southern Illinois is two-thirds of the receipts and direct costs go to the farmer, except for seed, which is all paid by the farmer. So there's all sorts of different arrangements in southern Illinois compared to the northern and central Illinois experience.
You explore one other type of arrangement in your lease agreement paper on the FarmDoc website. That one is just a custom farming fee, where the landowner essentially pays the farmer to farm the land, but takes all the risk on themselves.
Yeah, so under a custom farming arrangement, the landowner would bear all the risk, pay all the direct cost or all the cost, and pay a farmer to do all the field operations. How those field operations are paid varies. That could be on a per field operation base or for the total amount. In Iowa, we don't have numbers for Illinois. In Iowa, the total rate is $127 for corn and $115 per acre for soybeans.
Gary Schnittke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can read his latest article titled Trends in Farmland Leasing on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. On this Wednesday, let's check the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, happy afternoon to you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Farmers would like to stay busy in the field. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to start with the Plain States and the hard red winter wheat crop because they're trying to get that crop sown and off to a good start. What are conditions like?
Well, they have been very hot and dry, you know, the entire U.S. plains from Texas to, well, even up into Canada's prairies this week. And we've seen temperatures in the 80s and 90s, very low humidity in the afternoons and wind blowing around. You'd think it was the 1930s if we didn't manage our fields right, as dry as it's been in some of these areas. But we are going to get some rain. There's some scattered showers occurring right now across parts of Nebraska and a few areas in Kansas. Most of this is on the eastern side of wheat country, but it's just the beginning of a few days of scattered showers that will occur. And hopefully there's going to be enough rain across that production area that we can get the crops to start being planted more aggressively and get germination and emergence to take place rather swiftly. I'm a little concerned, though, that the rains are going to be a little too erratic. And I think that some of the western parts of wheat country may come up a little short-ended, and follow-up rain is certainly going to be necessary. So we'll have to kind of keep an eye on that. But by no means, don't get me wrong, this is still a really nice little event and necessary if we're going to start planting aggressively out there.
Harvest season underway for corn and soybeans across the Corn Belt states. What do they look like over the next week or so from the west to the east?
Yeah, the same system that's impacting the wheat country will work its way through the western Corn Belt at about the same time. We're already seeing some showers knocking on the Missouri River Valley right now. And as we go forward through the afternoon and through the next two or three days, that we'll see a daily occurrence of scattered showers in the western Corn Belt. We'll push some of those showers across the Mississippi River as we go into Friday afternoon and on into Saturday, Sunday, and maybe Monday. We'll see scattered showers around. So that field work that you were talking about may not advance quite as well as we'd like to have it with this situation in front of us. But the rains themselves shouldn't be excessively great. And we have dried down the topsoil enough in many areas that we should be able to get this moisture to soak down fairly quickly. And the firming of the topsoil will kick back in fairly quickly as well. And hopefully we can be back in the fields and doing some aggressive field work within a few days after this event. Certainly the eastern Corn Belt, though, for the next two or three days, we'll still be able to go, you know, full tilt boogie on getting some of that crop out of the fields.
Once this rain event makes its way through, do we have open weather for a while?
Well, you know, the models are kind of bouncing around a little bit. I do think that we're going to have some better weather. I think that there's also a potential, though, that we may run into some more showers scattered around every once in a while. But I think the pattern really isn't bad for this time of the year. You know, ideally, we'd want it to be dry for two or three weeks and warm. But I don't think we're going to quite get that. But we are going to easily see a kind of an erratic light precipitation pattern coming and going over the following 10 days after this period. So I think we'll see a fairly steady rate of harvest progress made.
Let's check some of the other growing regions of the planet, start in South America.
Yeah, Argentina still has an issue with dryness in its west central and northwestern crop areas. This isn't necessarily a big deal for their wheat crop, since most of the wheat is produced in the south and some east central areas, and they're doing okay. But some of the sunseed crops are already being planted, and there's some early corn starting to go in and will accelerate as we go forward through these next few weeks. And if this turns out to be kind of a classical La Nina-type environment, we're probably going to see a little struggle for moisture in some of the early corn and sunseed production areas, and those crops may end up being a little short down the road. But we'll have to keep an eye on that. Usually better rains come into Argentina in November, And that's just in time for the soybean planting and later on for the bigger part of the corn crop. So I think it's status quo with for right now in Argentina. In Brazil, you know, the southern part of the country is doing really well with precipitation. Corn planting has advanced really well. This is the early crop, the early full season crop. And there's some wheat in Rio Grande do Sul that's really been doing well with the moisture profile being adequate to slightly surplus. A little farther to the north, we're seeing some early soybean planting occurring and some other corn going in the ground. But we do need to see some greater amounts of rainfall in center west and center south crop areas. That's where the bulk of that early season soybean crop gets planted. And we're waiting for better rains to arrive. It looks like next week we'll see some scattered showers and a few thunderstorms to pop up a little bit more often. The rains are definitely going to be erratic, though. Some folks are going to get an inch and others will probably just get a few hundredths of an inch. So we'll have to keep an eye on it, but we're moving in the right direction. That's the most important thing. La Nina will be having a bigger influence on all of South America's weather by the time we get to the end of October and through there late spring and on into summer. So we'll see a lot more influence, and that may mean drier bias conditions for southern Brazil relative to normal. And some of the crops down there could struggle a little bit during the heart of their summer.
And as we close out our time together, the wheat crops both in Ukraine, Russia, and maybe Australia.
Yeah, you know, we've seen some recovery in Russia and Ukraine. They were getting pretty darn dry during the early days of the planting season. And there was a lot of concern about a week and a half ago about dryness in the Volga Basin area of Russia, which is where most of their winter crops are produced. And it did start to rain, and they've had an adequate amount of rain. They haven't received enough to soak the ground really well, but probably good enough to get the crop germinated and starting to emerge and establish. But one of the other factors that's negative for them is it's cool. The afternoon temperatures are running in the 40s and 50s every day, and it looks like that's going to continue to be the case all the way through next week. So the odds are good that the crop is going to get in better shape, but it's not going to be ideal. And the big concern is that they might turn cold enough for the crop to go dormant without being adequately established. And then, of course, that leads to greater potential for winter kill for them and maybe even some shorter yields in the spring. For Australia, they have a beautiful crop. It's supposed to be the second greatest crop on record as of now, but there is a pretty good chance that this La Nina that's kicking in is going to cause rainy weather during the harvest in eastern Australia, and that could have a significant impact on some of that crop. It, you know, could go from a high-quality grain crop down to, you know, feed grain if things go exactly wrong. Now, this is something that will occur in the latter part of October and especially November. So a lot of miles between here and there, and we'll have to just kind of wait and see what happens. But keep that as a bug in your ear, because I think that's a viable possibility this year.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Medium.